But yes, tonight, let's pray and ask for God to help us to grasp a little more of his greatness and the wonder in this psalm, Psalm 8. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you speak through your word. It is living and active. Challenge and change us now, we pray, by your Spirit as we read your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, I thought I'd lower the standard of art with a piece of artwork. But anyway, it's been a while since I've drawn on a big board at the front of church. It's probably about 3 years or so. It went down that well the first time. We'll do it. Anyway, so art by the Grim. I do hope you've had a great week and really enjoyed seeing the artwork. It's wonderful to see. But there are many different mediums of art, aren't there? Many different ways in which art can be seen. I didn't see any photos of the dance. There was a dance workshop as well, wasn't there? See, there's been dance as well. And actually, as part and parcel of it also, we get to see, and we've sung, music. It is an art form. And we're going to go and delve into Psalm 8, which is a song. So how appropriate that we are looking into a piece of artwork tonight, in a sense, to discover what God has to teach us and tell us about tonight. And art encapsulates emotions, passion, and I'm, you know, one who hopefully will try and communicate a little bit of that through what we do tonight. But as we look at the psalm, as I looked at the psalm, I just thought this is really exciting until I read the first line of the bit underneath where it says Psalm 8. I was thinking, I wonder what kind of jolly tune or what kind of musical kind of notation this would be. I don't know, it's a bit of a rock, you know, I don't know what kind of praise song this is, what kind of big, awesome, it is a song according to Gittith. It was at that point that my heart sank. Well, what's that mean? And then you look at the footnotes and it all becomes very clear that no one has a clue what it means. So I've got no idea what this sounded like, whether it was a moody piece or whatever. But anyway, I think it was clearly a song of praise, and that's what we're going to look at it in the light of. It indeed declares much. And actually, you've got some clues in the lyrical structure of this song. It starts and ends. Do you know, when I was a teacher, Steve probably did this and said it, Ben, all of us teachers. You know when you have a lesson, you tell them what you're going to tell them, yeah? Then you tell them. And then you tell them what you told them. And that basically is my lesson. It used to take, and there wasn't much I put in, but actually by the time I've told them what I'm going to tell them, and then I've told them, and then I finished it with, this is what I told you. The time was up, bell went, brilliant. Well, the truth is that this is a psalm that does something similar. It basically starts and ends like a sandwich. It starts and ends like one of my geography lessons. It starts and ends with the big point to make sure that we don't miss where we're going and what we really should glean from here. How does it start? Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, at first glance, it may kind of go, well, blimey, he's got a stutter, I don't know. Lord, our Lord, why are you repeating that? But you suddenly look a bit closer and you'll see that actually it's really important how it starts. Did you notice this? That it begins with Lord. And then goes to our Lord. Spot the difference? Spot the difference? No. Well, two people have spotted the difference. There's a massive difference. Lord, our Lord. How can you not spot the difference? Lord, capital Lord, is what? It's Yahweh. That's what, if you, every time you come into the Bible and you read the capital, it's Yahweh. It means, oh goodness, it's the pencil. It's that I was, I am and I will be. It's the I am that you see in the Bible. It's that I'm God and I've made time, and this is time, okay, and on time, that is the Yahweh, the God who is the Ancient of Days. And it starts with Lord, the one who was and is to come, the Almighty One, and then blows us away with, it's our Lord. Our Lord. And this is our Lord. When I say our Lord, it's like the King. He is our King. Lord, our Lord. It's like the Queen. She might be amazing, but she's our Queen. But not just a queen, not just, you know, wonderful, majestic and all that kind of, but she's our queen. Okay, we pay for her, but she's ours. And the beginning of this psalm talks about the Lord, Yahweh, who was and is to come, is our Lord. Our Lord. Our King, our Sovereign, the one who rules and reigns and looks after us. Takes cares of us. This is the Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. That's where we start. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he's not just a Lord in Crowborough. I don't even know what shape Crowborough is. But anyway. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in Crowborough. Doesn't quite have the same. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There's not a lot that you miss out at having included all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's great. It is great. But the problem is, you can get greater. Did you notice that in the psalm? It gets greater. It's great, but it's just about to get greater. See what that is? Praise the Lord. My artwork isn't that bad. Brilliant. It's a telescope, but basically, it's, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And where does it go to? It gets bigger because it then says, you have set your glory in the heavens. We suddenly go heavenly. We suddenly go, I've forgotten how to do stars. How do stars go? Something like that anyway. There you go, that's a bit more like it. There we go, a couple of stars. Here's a moon. There you go, brilliant. The heavens, here's, I don't know, a planet or like that. I don't know. But our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. We go macro. We go massive. We go big. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory into the heavens. It's like a telescope. It's like us gazing. I don't really know what to do with one of these. But you look in here, and you look at the other end with the cap off, which is quite helpful. And you can see the greatness of the stars and the planets and this known universe, to be honest with you. I can't see much with this, to be honest with you. Even if you had the Hubble telescope, you'd see a lot more, but it's only a known universe. God's majesty and glory is so much greater than even we can see with a lot of help. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. It's like the canvas has suddenly just got huge. Let me help you to grasp our Lord, the Lord. But then we have a shock. It's a sting in the tail. But you see, by starting and ending with, O Lord, our Lord, it's like one of those kind of great songs. You know, the classic song, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. It's like a refrain that keeps repeating. That's what this psalm does. It feels like, I don't want you to miss that he is great. But then, the shock. Did you spot the shock? What is the shocker in this psalm? Have you spotted it? The shocker is this. Having gazed in this direction and spoken about how awesome and amazing and massive God is, we go micro. We go, it's almost as if God's kind of going, look at the world, look at the galaxies, see how amazing they are. And then he does this. He goes, ooh, ooh. And you suddenly turn it round. The big surprise comes here. If the heavens declare the glory of God, watch the little babes do too. The telescope has turned to the praise of infants and children. You've established a stronghold. And not just, aren't they lovely? Aren't they cute? But actually, aren't they warriors? Aren't they amazing? You've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger through the praise of children. God, I'm amazed and delighted in this, but my goodness, what are you doing through the praise of little infants? That's a wondrous thing. God is so much greater as we grasp the potential of just even the tiniest of babies. With praise. And establishing what is setting up for a fight. Stronghold against your enemies. There is a battle. This is a battleground. This is a fight. There are enemies in the picture. I didn't know how to draw or where they would go. But that's the picture that we've got. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. We've gone from macro to micro. Macro, discovering the wonders of the world, to the micro. And then, do you know just that the psalm does it again? It does it again. Have a look at what it says next. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, when I look at these things, what does it say? What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? The telescope's been turned round again. As I look at the stars and the wonder, God, what are you doing with them? I was trying to think if this is kind of how wonderful the universe is, and there's the world. I thought, here you go, here's about world-like. I thought I'd bring some sand to represent man. The problem is I can't just get one of them, but there's lots there. What is man that you're mindful of mankind? And you think sand's small. Actually, compare us to the known universe, let alone the enormity of the universe. God, what are you doing? Why are you mindful of man? I think that's we've set the psalm, this song, how great you are, and then in the middle, there's mankind. It's like they call them chiasms and that kind of stuff. It starts and finishes with the sandwich. And the sandwich filler is a shocker. What is man that you're mindful of man?
That's where it takes us. We go from the macro to the micro and the macro and the micro, and suddenly we're blown away by man. That's what we see here. Verse 5, you've made them a little lower than angels, or heavenly beings, the footnote kind of tells us in the big scheme of things, and crown them with glory and honor. That's what you've done with the sand. You know, they're that big, they're that tiny. There's so many of them as well. Look, there's loads of them, and yet this mankind, you've set them up to be vice regents, those who are caring and overseeing your world, God. This is Lord, the Lord, our Lord, and you've chosen mankind to care for it. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea and all that swim the paths of the sea. What a great honor we've been given. What empowerment. What responsibility. Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, I confess I would have finished the psalm how I don't understand why you've done it. That's how I would have finished the psalm. O Lord, our Lord, what are you doing? O Lord, our Lord, this doesn't make sense. But I think that's the point. Is that actually how majestic you are, how much greater you are, because you've chosen the very tiny things of the world, of the galaxy, to reflect your image, to have your responsibility, to care as you care, to be the very things that you've called us to be. Now it is a shocker when we think then, how have we done? How have we done? Rulers over the works of God's hands. Are we doing well at that? Are we quite good at looking after the herds and the flocks and the animals and the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and those that swim along the paths? Are we good at caring for our world? I think many would say we're not that good. If you think about greenhouse gases and other bits and bobs, we're not that good. If you think about how we care for mankind, the abortion rates. How much does God love mankind, and yet we don't seem to be bothered as much about the value of life. We're not mankind loving in the way that God is. How do we live our lives loving humanity? How do we celebrate our humanity? Or is it just a competition? Someone said once, the problem with being in the rat race is that you're a rat. And the reality is that we don't want to be in the rat race because we are definitely not made to be rats. We're made to be in the image and likeness of God. And this is where I think the whole big span of the Bible helps us to take this psalm to a new level. You thought it was majestic. You thought it was great. And then suddenly, bam. You realize how far we've fallen. And then you realize how God solved it all along. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet. Does that ring a bell? Mankind had such potential in Adam. That's where we see a lot of this terminology in Genesis. We see the responsibility given to mankind. And we see time and time again how God has allowed us to rebel against him. And we yearn to be the people that he wants us to be. We yearn and long to be. Well, the reality is we probably don't, but we should do. But we yearn for one who will. Hebrews 2:9 says this. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels. Does that sound familiar? Now crowned with glory and honor. Does that sound familiar? Because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He has had everything given to him. We see in Jesus the fulfillment of the potential that God saw in mankind. Made a little lower than the angels, but now crowned with glory and honor. In the most shocking way, in the way that he died and suffered death for us. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I'm going to give you one more time to sing with me next time, okay? I'm giving you a warning, two, twice, one more. Ephesians chapter 1 also picks up this psalm. This psalm is used in the New Testament. We see Ephesians chapter 1 verses 19 to 22. That power is the same as the mighty strength God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Can you see this psalm? Written way beyond Jesus' incarnation, but points us to him. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 to 27? Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God's preoccupation with man, his salvation plan, is baffling. When you think, why is God mindful of mankind? That when the universe is so huge, but it should encourage us to give thanks to God. It should help us to turn to Jesus Christ and to see the potential in mankind fulfilled in Christ that gives us hope and praise. This song of praise, declaring how great God is. So where are you today? I don't know. I don't know where God is going to challenge you. Maybe he's encouraging you to think big. And delighting in the world. And seeing in the power of the storm. Seeing in the known universe how big and awesome he is and his majesty. But maybe God's helping you to see his eye view and seeing how he is mindful of mankind, tiny as we are, and yet given great responsibility, and then our failure to live up to his expectation. Maybe today you're kind of going, hang on a second. This amazing big God and this wonderful potential of mankind, I can see that I've let God down. I need to know about this man Jesus, who seems to have all authority, who seems to be the fulfillment of mankind, who is the second Adam and the one who has defeated death itself, the greatest enemy of all. I told you it was a battle. And maybe you're here, not knowing who Jesus is, or not thinking that Jesus is as great as he really is. Maybe you also have a low view of mankind. Maybe areas of, well, in the news, don't abhor you as much as God wants them to abhor you. The treatment of other humans. Well, I think in all of this, our sandwich finishes with that declaration, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And for that we want to praise you. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are prone to not be amazed by the wonderful world you've given us. We take things for granted and we do not see the value and your majesty and the awe and wonder that is all around us on the earth and in the heavens. Help us to grasp a little more in the sunset, in the sunrise, in the leaves, in the trees, in the beauty of nature. Help us to turn that into praise of you, that we would delight in your majesty. Amen. Amen. And Heavenly Father, as we think from your perspective, that we're baffled that you are mindful of mankind. And as a result, that we see that you love us. You delight in us, and you've made us in your image and given us responsibility. Heavenly Father, help us to take seriously our love of others. Maybe there are those that we know now that we don't love. We have no patience for. There are those we have no time. We ask that you would soften our hearts. For you love us, and there is no one on this planet that you do not love enough to send your son to die on the cross for. Give us your heart for those we meet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And lastly, as we think about Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of mankind. And we think about those who do not know who Jesus is, those in our community, those in our families, those down our street, those we work with. Heavenly Father, help us to point them to you. Help us to love them enough to share you with them. And in each and every situation, we ask for your patience and guidance, that we would be a people who see and delight in Jesus Christ fulfilling all that you made us to be and do. Thank you. May we be a grateful people, and may we be a people who leave here singing, as the psalmist was, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.